Bean did. But Bean's project wasn't to analyze Wigan out of scientific curiosity, or to compete with him, or even to understand him. It was to make himself into the kind of child that the teachers would trust, would rely on, would regard as fully human. For that project, Wigan was his teacher because Wigan had already done what Bean needed to do. And Wigan had done it without being perfect. Without being, as far as Bean could tell, completely sane. Not that anyone was. But Wigan's willingness to give up hours every day to training kids who could do nothing for him? The more Bean thought about it, the less sense it made. Wigan was not building a network of supporters. Unlike Bean, he didn't have a perfect memory, so Bean was quite sure Wigan was not compiling a mental dossier on every other kid in battle school. The kids he worked with were not the best and were often the most fearful and dependent of the launchies and of the losers in the regular armies. They came to him because they thought being in the same room with the soldier who was leading in the standings might bring some luck to them. But why did Wigan keep giving his time to them? Why did Polk die for me? That was the same question. Bean knew it. He found several books about ethics in the library and called them up on his desk to read. He soon discovered that the only theories that explained altruism were bogus. The stupidest was the old sociobiological explanation of uncles dying for nephews. There were no blood ties in armies now, and people often died for strangers. Community theory was fine as far as it went. It explained why communities all honored sacrificial heroes in their stories and rituals, but it still didn't explain the heroes themselves. For that was what Bean saw in Wigan. This was the hero at his root. Wigan really does not care as much about himself as he does about these other kids who aren't worth 5 minutes of his time. And yet this may be the very trait that makes everyone focus on him. Maybe this is why in all those stories Sister Carlotta told him, Jesus always had a crowd around him. Maybe this is why I'm so afraid of Wigan. Because he's the alien, not me. He's the unintelligible one, the unpredictable one. He's the one who doesn't do things for sensible, predictable reasons. I'm going to survive, and once you know that, there's nothing more to know about me. Him, though. He could do anything. The more he studied Wigan, the more mysteries Bean uncovered. The more he determined to act like Wigan until at some point he came to see the world as Wigan saw it. But even as he tracked Wigan, still from a distance, what Bean could not let himself do was what the younger kids did, what Wigan's disciples did. He could not call him Ender. Calling him by his last name kept him at a distance. A microscope's distance, anyway. What did Wigan study when he read on his own? Not the books of military history and strategy that Bean had blown through in a rush and was now rereading methodically, applying everything to both space combat and modern warfare on Earth. Wigan did his share of reading, too, but when he went into the library, he was just as likely to look at combat vids, and the ones he watched most often were of bugger ships. Those, and the clips of Maser Rackham's strike force in the heroic battle that broke the back of the second invasion. Bean watched them too, though not over and over again. Once he saw them, he remembered them perfectly and could replay them in his mind, with enough detail that he could notice things later that he hadn't realized at first. Was Wigan seeing something new each time he went back to these vids? Or was he looking for something that he hadn't yet found? Is he trying to understand the way the buggers think? Why doesn't he realize that the library here simply doesn't have enough of the vids to make it useful? It's all propaganda stuff here. They withheld all the terrible scenes of dead guys, of fighting and killing hand to hand when ships were breached and boarded. They didn't have vids of defeats where the buggers blew the human ships out of the sky. All they had here was ships moving around in space, a few minutes of preparation for combat. War in space? So exciting in the made-up stories, so boring in reality. Occasionally something would light up. Mostly it was just dark. And, of course, the obligatory moment of Mazer Rackham's victory. What could Wigan possibly hope to learn? Bean learned more from the omissions than from what he actually saw. For instance, there was not one picture of Mazer Rackham anywhere in the library. That was odd. The triumvirate's faces were everywhere, as were those of other commanders and political leaders. Why not Rackham? Had he died in the moment of victory? Or was he perhaps a fictitious figure, a deliberately created legend so that there could be a name to peg the victory to? But if that were the case, they'd have created a face for him. It was too easy to do that. Was he deformed? Was he really, really small? If I grow up to be the commander of the human fleet that defeats the buggers, will they hide my picture too, because someone so tiny can never be seen as a hero? Who cares? I don't want to be a hero. That's Wigan's gig.